This morning, I am going to ask everyone in this building to do something that you don't like to do. Now, that's always a good way to get people's attention. But I would like, and we're going to take a moment here, I would like for everyone in this building to take your cell phones or your iPods or anything like that that you have and turn them off. Nobody is so important that they can't turn their phone off for 1 hour. So take a moment, turn them off. As I look around this morning, I don't want to see people down here doing this with their whatever they're doing on their phones. This is church, people. This is God's time. And we're here for God. Turn the phones off. It's that simple. Well, Pastor, why do you say that? Because countless times people miss the reason for celebration because of those silly little phones. I didn't say it to offend. I said it so that there would not be a distraction. The other night, and sometimes things get emotional, and sometimes I want to make sure that everything is heard. The other night, and some specifics I can't tell you, but I walked into a house. And you open the front door, and as you walk in, there's a little alcove there that you come into. And so we opened the door, and we walked in, and immediately it was nothing but blood. All over the floor, you couldn't help but step in it. All over the wall. You open the next door that goes into the home, and the first room you go into, it's nothing but blood all over the floor, all over the wall, all over the furniture. You hear the screaming, the yelling, the cussing. And you move into the next room, and I'm struck between two things, because to one side is a bedroom with no door on it and a fight taking place. I'm not going into the details of that. But in the process of all of this, one individual had a massive cut and was bleeding profusely. And this fight had taken place for some time because the blood was in all of these rooms. And the second room that I came into, where I looked to one side and here's the bedroom and all the stuff going on in there and blood just everywhere. I'm standing in a room, and you wouldn't imagine how much blood there can be. And the room is covered in blood, and my shoes are covered in blood. And all I've done is walk in there. But then as I listen and I notice, and the big scene's taking place in the bedroom, but over here to my right, is a little boy, 4 years old, standing in the middle of the blood, sprayed with the blood himself, crying. I immediately moved to him. I couldn't do anything for the two that were fighting, and I wasn't there to do anything for the two that were fighting. And I can only imagine, what this little boy had just seen, what this little boy had just heard. And so I started talking to him and took him to another room. Because you see, as he was standing there crying like this, he's looking into the bedroom and he's seeing everything that's happening. Merry Christmas. Sometimes we just forget about the kids. And we forget about those whose lives are so messed up without Jesus Christ that this type of thing happens. Like I said, I can't go into the details of the fight, and I can't go into the details of the location or anything else, but it's a little boy, 4 years old. Folks, I ask you, what did he do to deserve that? When there's no Jesus, when there's no love for Christ, other things take place. A little boy and a little girl were singing their favorite Christmas carol in the church Christmas program. It was the Sunday before Christmas, and they were excited. And the little boy was standing up there, and they're concluding the song, Silent Night. And as he concludes the song, Silent Night, as he comes to the end of the song, he concludes with the words, Sleep in heavenly beings. Oh, his sister immediately picked up on that, and she elbowed him, and she said, no, not beans, peas. Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes the way we feel by the time we're ready for Christmas, the song must just as well end with beans or peas instead of peace. Because sometimes in a frantic rush to get everything done, the peace of the season eludes us. It escapes us. Now, I've tried to compile a list of potential things that happen at this time of the year that may contribute to increased stress during the holiday season, during the Christmas season. And see, as I share these, maybe you've got your own checklist, and start checking these off and see if this is you as we talk about it. Maybe these kind of ring a bell. That's funny, you know, ring a bell for Christmas. Oh, man. Anyway, we'll go through the list and see how you do. Shopping for gifts. Getting the necessary holiday parties, or going, getting to the necessary holiday parties. Putting up decorations, that's mine. I am not big on putting up decorations. I'm so fortunate to have a beautiful wife and daughter that love to do that. Cooking a meal. Again, I'm not big on that, but I know Donna, just when it comes time to do meals, she's got it all planned out, and everything has to go a certain way, and it can be stressful. Wrapping the gifts. Making enough cookies and breads to give away. Buying a tree, that can be a trip. Fighting the traffic. You know, yesterday, I'm a genius, man. We went to Chicago. We went to Michigan Avenue in Chicago. But before we went to Michigan Avenue in Chicago, we went to the Kris Kringle Market, where 10,000 million people gathered into an area the size of a football field. Oh, it was fun. There's a lot more to that story. I can't tell it. Okay, back on track. Fighting the traffic, having enough money to buy gifts. If you're married, figuring out when to celebrate at both sets of parents without offending each other. I'm going to throw another one in here. Coming to the Christmas Eve service. All the stores are out of the gift that you're looking for. That always happens to me. I don't understand why on Christmas Eve I can't find the gift I'm looking for. I don't understand it. Three very frightening words. Some assembly required. Having the right clothes for social occasions. And I guess this is a year of the ugly sweater. Gaining weight. Christmas program for the kids at school and at church. Untangling the strands of light. Sending out Christmas cards. Hearing Grandma got run over by a reindeer for the 150th time. Just stress. Cleaning the house. Forgetting someone whom you should have purchased a gift. Feeling the pressure to make a memory. Knowing the year is coming to a close and you didn't accomplish what you intended to. Facing relatives that you don't get along with. All your work is due by a rapidly approaching December 25th deadline and you don't know how you're going to make it. Knowing that maybe you'll spend Christmas alone. Three often overlooked words, batteries not included. Being a part of a family that celebrates separately because of a divorce. Christmas lights that won't work, arranging travel schedules, missed loved ones who have passed away, paying off the credit cards, weeding through crowded stores. Members of your family who find where you hid their presents. That was always me. I must have ruined so many Christmases for my parents. I was a snoopy little thing, and I could find them. When you compile, Barry, you laughed at that too easy. When you compile a list like this, it's easy to see why Christmas is a major period of increased stress in many people. Does Christ have anything to say to us in the midst of this season of hurry and rush? I believe he does. After all, isn't it his birthday party? So, what does he think about all of this? There's a humorous little story. It's in the Gospel of Luke. And it kind of shows the busyness and stress and how it gets in the way of what matters the most. It wasn't his birthday, but it was a party, and Jesus was the honored guest. It's in Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Listen to this now. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" You feel that way at Christmas, maybe? "Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and you're upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Folks, understanding what Jesus said to Martha about Mary, it's easy to see that we will enjoy this season much more if we simply focus on what is needed. So I'm talking a little bit about stress today because this time of year we just see so much of it. And And if we can do something to bring it down a little, that's a good thing. Martha said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, I think Martha was experiencing some stress. Rushing around trying to get everything ready because Jesus is going to be there. But by the way, if Jesus was going to be coming to your house, what would you be doing? Some of you, without a doubt, even though your house is spotless, you would be rushing around making sure it was double spotless because Jesus is coming. She says, doesn't anyone care how busy I am? She's stressed. She thinks that she comes in the room and she serves her hors d'oeuvres. And she's like, oh, Mary dear, can you imagine that? Two sisters. Mary. Oh, Mary dear sister, there you are. Oh, don't bother getting up. And Jesus, I wish I could stay and chat like some people. But you'll all be wanting freshly crushed grape juice soon. So I guess I'll just go out back to the kitchen where I'm working alone. Mary, dear, you just take it easy. I got this. I don't think that's really the way Martha was looking at it. Listen, stress is your body's alarm system. And no one can live without experiencing some kind or some degree of stress. You may think that only serious disease or intensive physical and mental injury can cause stress. And that's false. Crossing a busy intersection, exposure to a draft, or even sheer joy are enough to activate the body's stress mechanism to some extent. And stress is not even necessarily bad for you. It's also kind of the spice of life. For any emotion, any activity can cause stress. Stress can be caused by anything that creates a state of arousal or alarm in our system, by anything that mobilizes our body's defenses against hostile or threatening or even challenging events in our environment. Did I tell you I went to Chicago yesterday? There was no stress. Outside of a store, if I got it right, a street person broke the bottle over the head of another person and stole something and ran off with it. Police fixed for riot gear were surrounding some of the buildings and forcing people to move out of the streets because protesters were blocking them. Little bit of stress. Stress can result from anything that annoys you, that threatens you, that prods you, excites you, scares you, worries you, hurries you, angers you, or frustrates you. Anything that challenges you, criticizes you, or by anything that reduces your self-esteem. It can be caused by almost anything, pleasant or unpleasant. And the experts say that actually getting married is actually more stressful than getting fired from your job. That's what the experts say. And retirement, Gene, is more than twice as stressful as moving to a new residence. I got a rubber band. And, you know, I stretch that rubber band, and it stretches, and that puts stress on that rubber band, right? But, you know, when I take the load off of it, it returns to normal. Now, if I was to stretch it far enough, the elasticity would go out of it. What's it going to do? It's going to break. I was going to demonstrate that for you, But I did it in my office earlier this week, and it just hurt too much. I'm not going to do it now. But once it returns to normal, and once the load is taken off of it, it comes back to what's normal. You remove that external force. The body's stress response is stretched whenever it is subjected to any emergency or any demand. It ought to return to normal, to a relaxed state when the demand is removed. And that's why when we get through, actually through New Year's, we see a whole shift in people's attitudes and how people feel, and we see things begin to come back into a normal range. Isn't that amazing? Should we be stressed over worshiping our Savior? Over recognizing that He was born into this world? You know, next Friday and Saturday night, you guys have no idea what this out here does. I stand out there from the time it starts until we shut the lights off, and it's mainly because I have this terrible vision of sheep and goats and donkeys running down Laurel Street and me trying to catch them. It's just not going to work. But I see people busy, and then they see it. There's the manger. There's the lights. And some of them slow down enough to listen, and there's a beautiful song playing. There's music. Some will come and they'll pull their car up and they'll sit for a long amount of time in their car and just take it in. Others come around and park and they walk back down on the sidewalk and they just stand on the sidewalk and they stare at the scene, and there's always silence. There's always silence. You know, folks, holy ground is holy ground. And when we step into the presence of the Lord, even if it's just a scene that God has blessed, folks, we're standing on holy ground. And it's respected. You don't hear laughter and jokes and loud noise. And even those that are talking are because we're focusing on Jesus. Man, if you've never been a part of that, get signed up. It's special. And then they come in and they have hot chocolate. It's something we give to them. This year we're giving away something else that's very special, is the gift of music. Take time. Take time to slow down and to see Jesus and understand what that's about. And just that little act, you can see a change in people. Oh, they come over to me and they'll say things like, I really needed this. Thank you, church, for doing it. This is the season, and this is what I needed to see. I'll never forget one year, and we used a straw bale to block one of our lights so that you didn't see the light itself. We just saw the reflection coming out. And normally we don't like for people to step in close to the scene, but I watched as this young man came down the street, and you could tell he was stressed and he was disturbed. And he came to the scene, and he almost missed it. He almost walked right past it. And then he did a double take. And he looked at it, and he stood there for a minute. And then he walked up in the yard to that hay bale, and he got down on his knees, braced his elbows up on the hay bale. And he kneeled there, and he prayed. And he talked to God. And he got up. He said, thank you. He says, I understand. And he went his way. His stress level had come down. I Did somebody not hear the message this morning? I'm not going to go any further than that. If our bodies are repeatedly held in a state of alarm, then there's some damaging consequences. And the symptoms of stress and the damages of stress, are you ready for this? You think you're not stressed, but check yourself in this department. Stress causes this: frequent headaches, stiffness in neck, shoulders, jaw, arms, legs, hands, or stomach, irregular heartbeats, getting dizzy or lightheaded, suffering from colds, flu, or hoarseness, indigestion, nausea or discomfort in the stomach, difficulty falling or staying asleep, waking up feeling tired, cold hands or cold feet, excessive perspiration, anger or irritability. Which one are you? I see somebody say, all of them. I love honest people. Stress. And the holiday season, the Christmas season, can be a period of major stress. The rubber band gets stretched pretty far and held there and is held there too long. And then it finally snaps. And maybe some of you are feeling the effects of stress, and you're stretched, and it's like, okay, Lord, I can't go any further. This is it. This is it. But let me tell you something. God has this magic thing about Him, and He says, I can stretch it a little further for you. Because He's wanting you to learn something. Look at the baby. Look at the baby. Hey, Karen, you know what next Friday night is? It's the live nativity. You got a baby. We got a manger. We might even find some swaddling clothes. Yeah, but I like the one that kicks her feet and moves. Are you saying no, Karen? All right. I'm going to keep trying. Listen, it wouldn't be too surprised this morning to find out that even some of you have exchanged heated words with people that you care about in the midst of this Christmas and Christmas preparations. And I wouldn't be surprised if a few of you said that you're actually dreading instead of looking forward to the next couple of weeks. There's just too much and all of these things. And I wouldn't be too surprised if some of you are mentally, right now, as we're sitting here having this service, it wouldn't surprise me if some of you are mentally working on your to-do list right now while secretly pretending to listen to the sermon. I got you today, because after this, I'm going to give you a quiz, and you got to sign it. We're going to ask you questions. Okay, I'm not. It's a difficult time of year, and we've seen what stress is, but what about the cure? What about the cure? Martha, busy, doing all that. What about the cure? Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Notice the word there. Martha was distracted. Does Satan want to kind of take our minds away from the whole purpose and distract us? Of course he does. And maybe that sounds like us sometimes, that we're distracted. Like Martha, we can get so distracted by all the seemingly necessary things that we miss the point. For most of us, the problem is not priorities as much as it is posteriorities. I made that word up. And what I mean by that is those things that we choose to leave out. You know, isn't that really the problem? Some of the things that we make priorities aren't really the priorities. And by focusing on these things of lesser importance, we miss the most important. The answer then, are you ready? It's simple. For those that said, I've got all the symptoms of stress. It's simple. Be like Mary. Be like Mary. Mary knew what was important. I am going to sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to have this encounter with Jesus, and I'm going to listen to him, and he's talking, and all the things he's telling, and the things I'm receiving from Jesus because I'm sitting here. You know what? The dust will be there, the dirt will be there, the dishes will be there, but I've got this much time with Jesus. And I'm not going to worry about the rest of it. And you know, when I engage somebody in conversation, I'm not going to talk to them about, you know, this. I want to talk about Jesus because that's what I'm celebrating. Put the rest of the stuff away. Mary said, you know, I'm here with Jesus. He doesn't come to our house every day. He doesn't come knock. You know what? Once a year we celebrate his birth. We celebrate him year-round, and I trust that we do, but we only celebrate his birth once a year, and we call it Christmas. You know what? It always amazes me because the agnostics and the atheists also call it Christmas. Wow. I won't. That's another subject for another message, but I had rather be at the feet of Jesus in a filthy house than cleaning the house and miss Jesus. I would rather be at the feet of Jesus, listening and hanging on to every word he says. By the way, his words are written in a book. Did you know that? It's a wonderful book. Actually, it's 66 books in one volume. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And I can look at his words year-round. But I'd rather be at the feet of Jesus than worrying about everything else. Be like Mary. Look at what Jesus tells Martha. And I hope he's telling you this today. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. She realized that spending time with Jesus was more important than external preparations. Martha's choice had not been bad. These things that she was working on, they were all good. She wasn't doing bad things. It simply wasn't the wisest choice at that moment. Why? Because Jesus was there. All the Christmas preparations are good, but there is only one thing that is needed. And that thing that is needed this Christmas is spending time with Jesus in a personal and an intimate love relationship. One of the things I appreciate about the Nativity is how that brings people into that focus. We must never get so busy with the outward things that we neglect the quiet and peaceful worship of our Lord. I read a story a while back called An Atmosphere of Calm. And the author of this story describes her shopping experience at a busy mall. She said, people have been pushing and elbowing and cutting in front of her all day, and she could hardly take it anymore. How many of you, being honest, have been there? Man, I have. You know, I'm not a little guy. I don't know if you noticed. But people still try to crowd and still try to push. And I don't push easy and I don't crowd easy, but I try to be polite. And then it reaches that point. It's like, you know what? No, I'm going through. Yesterday, another Chicago story. Yesterday, in this place we were at, poor Donna. She's a little thing, you know. And she couldn't see the booths, and she couldn't, you know, the 10 million people in that little lot. You know, it's only the size of a half a football field. And she couldn't see the booths or anything else. And I'm up here, and I'm looking, and I said, oh, Donna, look at that, that's pretty cool. I can't see it. And then we're trying to make our way through the crowd. Well, I could make my way through the crowd, but poor Donna, just little Donna, she couldn't. So my words to her, Donna, just tuck in behind me and hang on. We made our way through the crowds. Lots of fun. Anyway, said people have been pushing, elbowing, and cutting in front of her all day. And hardly able to take it anymore, she says, during a 10-minute special, 10% off the already 25% discount, a woman grabbed a lace tablecloth from my hands. I looked her straight in the eyes, and I grunted and said, mine, and yanked it back. I won. She says, by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my mood was belligerent. At a mall restaurant, she met some friends and flagged down a server and said, I need hot tea now. The lady snapped at her and said, I'm not your server. Wait your turn. She said, lady, I've been waiting my turn all day. Bring me some tea. And she said, but the lady ignored her. A few moments later, a friendly young man came to her table, smiling, and said, I'm Rob, your waiter. After he took their order, she noticed that Rob stopped to help the rude waitress with her tray. He greeted the other customers and the other staff. And in the midst of dozens of hurried shoppers and restaurant staff, he conducted himself in a polite, unhurried atmosphere of calm. When he refilled her tea, the lady noticed a silver ring on his hand made connected letters. And after he walked away, she said to the other ladies at the table, did you notice that our server is wearing a ring that spells Jesus? She said that from that moment, her attitude changed. This one young man's example had reminded her of the peace that Christ came to bring. He had apparently spent time with the Lord. And for the rest of the day, she enjoyed shopping. She opened doors for others. She let people in front of her at the checkout line. And she was in quite an atmosphere of calm. Folks, how can we be calm in the midst of stress all around us at this time of year? How can we be like Mary and simply focus on what is needed? Well, here's a good place to start. Cross out everything that takes away from the real meaning of Christmas. A mother heard this story just the other day. Family had been celebrating Christmas, and every year they would bring a tree in, and they would put great amount of time and effort into finding the tree and getting the tree and decorating the tree and setting up the tree. And one year the mother looked at it and she realized that they had put so much emphasis into the tree that they didn't see Jesus. So the next year, The next year, what happened is she told her family, we're not going to get a tree. True story. She said, we're not going to get a tree. So the kids kind of thought, oh, well, there goes Christmas. No tree, we're not going to look for it and decorate it. No, we're not going to. Instead, we're going to set up a manger scene. So in the house, instead of putting a tree up, they set up a little manger scene, and they had the little manger. And when the kids got up in the morning, the manger held their gifts. And she wanted the kids to realize that Jesus was the gift. And that it wasn't the tree and it really wasn't the presents. And she did a whole thing on this is what it's about. And instead of putting a tree up, and to this day they still don't. But they put gifts in the manger and remember that the gifts they receive are the gift of Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? Well, if you're really being stressed out, ask yourself if you really do have to do it. If you're being stressed out, do you really have to make those special cookies that take a whole afternoon to make? And Donna says yes. Right? Do you really have to make whoopie pies? But look at your list. Do you have to put all the lights up on the house just the way you did it last year? Take a look at your list and lay out a plan. State your expectations up front. What is the main thing that needs to happen this Christmas? Plan ahead. Share the load with others. Other family members can help. You know what? If you're having people over for a meal, invite them to bring something. You don't have to do it all. Lessen the load. Lighten your calendar. Look at which events you have to do and which ones are optional. Respect your budget. Have you determined how much you'll spend before you go shopping? And put your most significant relationships first. And here's the order, folks, and if you don't get this, you're going to miss it. Put your most important relationships in order. Number one, who do you think that would be? Jesus Christ. Spend personal time with Him and worshiping Him at church. Come to the Christmas Eve program. Hear about Jesus and be ready to usher in that birthday and how special it is. So number one, spend personal time with Jesus. Number two, your spouse. Gentlemen, make a date with your spouse this December. Do something with her. Something fun, something she likes. Don't make her tell you what it is she wants to do. Thank you, Barb. You've been married long enough, you should know. You didn't have a problem when you were dating or figuring out what to do, so you shouldn't have a problem now figuring out. Make your spouse feel special. Ladies, do the same thing for your husband. I always refer to the bride as being the prize, but ladies, you got a prize too. And you need to treat him that way. And then family. Don't neglect them for what seem like other obligations. You'll regret it later in life. And you know you honor Christ by honoring your family. Then finally, closest friends who feel like family. There's your priorities. Look for the spiritual dimension in everything. You know, house cleaning, maybe that's like preparing our hearts for Christ and to welcome Him in. And gift giving, well, gift giving is like the wise men giving to Christ. As you start looking at things, think of it that way. Think of it as, how does this tie into Christmas? How can I see this as a part of a Christmas time? Focus on those who are in need. this holiday season. And Mary was only focused on Jesus because she was focused on who she needed to be focused on. We need to focus on what's needed and the people that may have need. On the night Jesus was born, angels from heaven announced, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Glory to God in the highest, say it. Come on, glory to God. I'm up here and I only hear myself. Glory to God in the highest. I still only hear myself. Glory to God in the highest, and on peace. And on earth, peace to men in whom His favor rests. Glory to God in the highest, say it.
Glory to God in the highest.
Oh, that was good. And on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. You know what? Take the words out of the song. It's pretty special, isn't it? Don't let the celebration of the most peace-filled night in Earth's history turn into the most stressful time of the year. I've asked Frank to come and share, and he's going to share a song as we close. Frank, you can come on, get ready if you want to. Listen to the words. Silent night. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. God had no intention for this to be a stressful time. He sent His Son not to bring stress, but to bring hope. He sent His Son not to bring stress, but to bring joy. He sent His Son that we might celebrate the Savior. How important that He sent His Son. So as we close this morning, I'm going to bow my head and pray, and then we're going to have Frank do this last song, and following the song, you're going to be dismissed. That's it. You're just going to be dismissed. 10 minutes, we'll be back in here for congregational meeting, but for right now, I'm just going to ask you to do something. Close your eyes. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Shepherds sleeping in their field, awakened by an angel. They come and see what the Lord has done. Silent night, holy night. A busy city with crowded streets. But out behind, in a little stable, a Savior is born. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Heavenly Father, just reach down right now. And I pray, Father, that You would place Your hand on the shoulder of each person in this room. That they would feel the warmth of Your touch. That they would feel the peace that goes beyond any understanding. that this year, this season, does not have to be stress. That this is a time to celebrate. And the most important thing we can do is that same thing that Mary did. Be at the feet of Jesus, listening. Now, Father, I just ask that over the next couple of weeks, reveal yourself to those who may be struggling right now. Let this be a Christmas that is so special because they're with you and they feel your touch. Heavenly Father, I just want to lift this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.